that song, Always Have, Always Will. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of the Iron Claw Cast. And I'm joined by Ross and Marshall Von Erich. Wait, on my right side. Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Dennis? How's everything going in Las Colinas?
Hey, it's springtime here in North Texas. The Bradford pears are blooming. The grass is getting greener. 70-degree weather. Should be 81 on Tuesday, so nobody's complaining here. It's been great. How about you guys? It's a little rain, right?
Yeah, a lot of rain. Yeah, we're having some pretty crazy flooding right now. Yeah, a lot of people are struggling right now. But yeah,
on the North Shore in Hanalei, we had a huge landslide that cut off the road, and it's been just the ground is so soft right now. But it's we've been watching a lot of wrestling, so that's the plus side. Can't really leave.
You know, that's interesting. So have I. And one of the things I've been watching is some of the old World Class Championship wrestling videos. There's a lot of gold out there on the internet. And you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of legend and lore out there. You know, one of the questions that I've always wanted to ask you guys, and we've spent a lot of time together, and I've never asked you guys this question. Maybe I'll start the podcast off with saying this, or the Clawcast. What is one thing about World Class Championship Wrestling, any story or anything that has to do with World Class Championship Wrestling that you know is different than perception? You know, fact from fiction? Do you guys have anything that you think is a fact versus fiction?
Yeah. So, it's because sometimes it's hard. A lot of wrestlers, you know, we respect and look up to, have heard stories on how my Uncle Dave passed away. How he died in Japan. And, we're not ones to really like call out somebody for it or whatever, but, a lot of people believe that, when my Uncle Dave died, a ton of people, credible people believe that when he died, that, one of the wrestlers ran in there and hid the pills, that he actually overdosed. And they think it kind of sounds ridiculous, but they think that the Von Erichs had so much power in Japan that we paid to change the autopsy report, and we're wrestlers, right? We don't have that kind of power, you know, and it's on his autopsy how he died.
There's just always been a lot of misconception, and you know, that's what happens in wrestling. You know, one story gets told to one guy and the next guy, and you know, little things here and there change. But so the name of the disease was, he had acute gastroenteritis was the name of what actually killed him. And evidently it was a really painful way to go. And so,
and you know, my dad's trying to take in his brother's death, and then, you know, hearing from the boys, you know, guys he loves, you know, he's saying, I hid the pills. And I don't think it was like any ill will, you know, thing. It was just that when someone dies or something big happens, sometimes people want to be in that story or part of that story. And who knows, but my Uncle Dave did have prescriptions because he was going to the doctor constantly for that, for his stomach. And
yeah, so there's probably a little truth, or that's probably where it came from, you know.
But Uncle Dave was really level headed and he had himself in check. My dad always said he wasn't an overdoer at all. And he loved eating too. So it's hard to hear that sometimes from guys we, you know, we really like. Hey, I heard about your Uncle Dave, and my uncle or my friend or whatever hid the pills when he died. And I heard it was like three different guys. I heard it was Brody. I heard it was few other guys. I don't want to
get wrong. Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, I've always heard that rumor as well, and I know it wasn't true. You know, I've heard your dad talk about, you know, the days leading up to David, and David was not looking well. He was not in good health. And I got to tell you, I've had that disease before, gastroenteritis, and I remember having to go to the doctor on an emergency basis and them telling me what it was. I was like, first thought that was through my mind was, oh my gosh, that's what David had. And it is painful, it's debilitating, and you're inflamed, and it is just not a good situation. And
it's a tough thing to overcome. I kind of wish my dad would have, we should have asked him more about that last week. You know, it was awesome having my dad on the podcast. And I wanted to thank everybody that's listening to the Clawcast. Thank y'all so much for your questions, just interacting with us and stuff. This is like a new chapter, and it's been really exciting for us, all three of us, you know, and it's a way that we can, you know, get closer to you guys. And You get to learn more about us, kind of see where we're at, who we are, instead of that crazy shark clawing Marshall Von Erich on MLW.
I tell you what, it was great. It was fantastic having your dad on. We had a great time. And I'll say this, we're going to have your dad on again from time to time. We've got a lot of other guests that we'll bring on. We've been doing talking, a lot of ideas, brainstorming. We've got a really cool list of people on our
And please keep sending guest requests. We want to know. We want to, you know, bring people that you guys want, and there's a lot of people that we want. We want, you know, interesting people, not just from wrestling, but of course, you know, wrestling is the main audience here.
Yeah, and we like people that have, you know, maybe different perspectives of wrestling that aren't necessarily in the business, you know, but, you know, have been maybe affected by it or influenced by it growing up, or, you know, there's some cool stories out there, and we just, you know, we want
to
talk.
You know, what'd be a cool idea is to bring someone on that has nothing to do, like knows nothing about wrestling, and only ask them wrestling questions. That could be a terrible idea.
I mean, that's probably how it'd go down anyway.
We should do that.
We might just do that. That's actually a great idea. Well, in the meantime, we have some questions from the fan base that we put out on Twitter. By the way, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube. But a couple questions I'll run by you guys really quick is, does Kevin still have the World Class Championship Wrestling heavyweight belt? I know the answer, but what's the answer, guys?
Yeah, he has. He still owns it, but right now it's in Israel in the Dizengoff Center. It's a big mall, and they have like a little Von Erich memorial, and it has awesome paintings and stuff. And it's in a big case, and you know, because we have a lot of love from Israel, and when my dad donated the belt to them, not donated, but let him have it for a few years, they were extremely grateful and stuff, and we went down there, and it was it's just beautifully displayed. Maybe we can share a picture or something.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great that it's over in Israel. That's such a big part of World Class Championship Wrestling. Tony Adams asks, when did Ross become interested in wrestling? Ross, when did you know you wanted to start doing this?
Tony, you're the man.
That's a great question, Tony.
Ace. I don't know if Tony will remember this, but
yeah,
we call Tony Ace or Fast Hands Eddie. He'll take either.
You know, I think like a lot of guys, both of us, me and Marshall, we grew up, and when we were a kid, you know, elementary school age, we loved it, and we were, you know, a part of the Attitude Era. You know, we'd watch it whenever we got a chance.
Don't speak on my behalf, bro.
I loved it, definitely. I like Steve Austin, you know. Everybody remembers him drinking the beers and, know, giving everybody the stunner, you know. And then you hit, like, around high school age, and you just, you know, you're like, that's kid stuff, whatever. But it never stopped being, like, back there in my subconscious, like,
yeah,
like I was like, we have some unfinished business in the world of wrestling. We always kind of felt that
as kids, we were invested. We weren't allowed to watch it, so we were sneaking tapes over from our friends Jordan and Jonathan Brazil. We were taking tapes from them, not stealing them. They were giving them to us, but we were bringing them, and we're watching them real quiet. And if my dad or mom found out, we'd lose it. And you know, it's we were super into the Attitude Era because we watched almost everything World Class had to offer, and that's what we did love. We just wanted to see what kids were talking about at school and stuff, and we were so invested. And then one time WWF at the time came to Dallas, and my dad caught us watching it, and he's like, "You guys like this stuff?" And we're like, "Yes, sir, you think it's awesome?" And he's like, "You guys want to go? They're here in Dallas. We can go tomorrow night." And we were just like, couldn't believe it. And the week before, we watched The Undertaker hang Boss Man and like kill him. And so, we went there, and it was just so crazy. The first guy we saw was Undertaker. And I was like, "Dad, be careful." And he like hugs my dad and, "Hey, Kevin." And they like, you like to see all those guys respect dad like that, where it was just like unreal. And then I saw Boss Man and I was like, "That's impossible."
And then Steve Austin comes by and I'm like, "Okay, I know he doesn't know this guy." You know, Steve Austin is like, you know, the man at the time. And then it still is. And then sees my dad and they're hugging and, you know, BSing with each other. And it's like, man, my dad must have been somebody.
He must look at dad differently.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the big joke of that story was Jim Ross and Jerry King Lawler walked up, And
I was, are you JR?
Yeah, I didn't. I was little, and I said, "Are you JR?" And he's like, "No, I'm Jerry." And I just look stupid. And my dad, I was the first time I embarrassed my dad.
And I immediately mocked his voice and how he said it, you know, to make fun of him. It's like, no, that's King. That's not JR, you know. So I was mad about it, but.
Was that but you cried when Kane took his mask off. So were you?
Probably, yeah.
Was that the show in Dallas where your dad actually got in the ring and did the claw on somebody? Was that the
No.
No, this was a couple years before. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Before. We just showed up.
Yeah, but when my dad did that, when he did, when he went on Raw that time and put the claw on, who was he put the claw on that time?
I'd get his
name. I don't remember, but the so I had to leave practice. I had to miss practice, and you never miss practice at Denton Ryan where we went. Football is a big deal, and so I was like, Coach, I'm gonna have to miss practice. My dad's doing this thing at WWE, and I'm gonna go and be a part of it. But so we ended up going. My dad did the thing, and then the next day. We're watching film, and then the first thing they do when they shut off the lights is they play the clip of my dad putting the claw on it at Raw the night before, and everyone was like, "Oh!" So I felt that was probably that was a really high point at that. I left my chin was a little higher the rest of that day. I felt pretty good.
Yeah,
that's great. Now speaking, okay, so you had a high point. I wanted to share a memory of a low point because, you know, the show is about being real. The show is about, you know, showing the vulnerable side as well. And I remember that there was a low point in time when you guys were doing the independent wrestling circuit for a while and we were doing a lot of road trips. And I remember you guys had a match and you just weren't happy with your performance in the match. You guys were still new. You guys were still working on things. You guys
were talking about Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Yeah, you guys were always good. But one of the things that we always said from the beginning is, hey, I'm not a wrestling expert at all, but I'll give you my opinion if you want it of the match, what I think I saw, and, you know, tell you what.
Will you share that? But before that, you know, what happened at the show, Jim Cornette was there, a guy we looked up to, we're excited to meet, Jim Ross, MVP, Chavo Guerrero, the Rock and Roll Express, all these guys, you know, that we're so excited to perform in front of. And, you know, we were still, you know, fresh out of Japan, didn't really work with crowds yet, you know, or crowd interaction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were going to go out and have a regular match, but something happened where we got sent to the back 2 minutes into our match. And it was at a really low, kind of humiliating. And, you know, fans came out from Kansas and stuff to come see us in the middle of Oklahoma. And we felt bad for them. And it was at a point where it's staying the course. Cause you know, we were 3 or 4 years in still doing, you know, really small shows and, empty basketball gyms, high school, middle school gyms, and really wondering if this is it's like, man, it's just what's our goal? Are we going to grow? Or are we going to stay?
Yeah, the only thing we could ever agree on throughout the whole thing was we just know we're not going to go to WWE. You know, we're not going to quit, and we knew it was going to be hard. It wasn't always going to be easy, but at this point, it was just we had, you know, it was just like bang, 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 like. Tough thing after tough thing. And so we were just kind of trying to refine ourselves.
We got sent back 2 minutes early. And when we got sent back, two guys we love and respect a lot, MVP and Chavo Guerrero, they chewed us out. They chewed us out so hard and things we screwed up on. And, you know, at the time I was pretty pissed off. I was like, man, they don't even, I hate wrestling anyway. I, you know, was mad at the world young. And, but, you know, eventually after that talk we had with you, you know, we became so close with both of them. You know, actually, like two shows after that, because we actually had a match they liked, and that was like the most rewarding. Made us love them, you know, and it was all worth it. But it was what you told us, Dennis, in the car, of who the Von Erichs were and how they looked at. And that's our family. It's our blood.
So we were, and your dad talked about the Von Erich on the last Clawcast. He talked about the Von Erich name. That's what you have. That's what you have to rely on. And we were driving home from Oklahoma. It was a, you know, several hour drive. We were in Bessie, my truck, which you guys named my truck Bessie, still have her today. And you guys were down, and I knew it. And I said, you know, one of these days you're going to feel up again, and you're going to feel that excitement. Let me tell you about when I was a kid and I went to the Sportatorium, what it was like going to those matches. And I described it as it was like a NFL playoff football environment. One notch above the regular season, you could feel the energy and the buzz in the air. And it was amazing. And then we talked about, you know, from a kid's perspective growing up, how each of your uncles contributed to that Von Erich name, and how, you know, Kerry had this it factor of just being this Greek god stud, your dad being the most athletic guy I've ever seen in the ring, Dave being this cowboy and this just this leader. And we talked about that, and we spent several hours talking about your uncles and how Mike was a scrapper. I mean, Mike would go in there and, you know, full force. And, you know, another thing that's misconstrued is people think that Mike didn't really want to wrestle. Mike wanted to wrestle. And you could see
My dad talks about that all the time. A lot of people said, yeah, he wasn't made for, or he didn't like it. The truth is he was green. He was really green and hadn't had a ton of experience yet.
And he wanted to be great.
He had to take the role of my Uncle Dave, because my Uncle Dave had died and they were on top, and he wasn't ready to be put there yet, but he wanted to be great so bad. And he knew that, and his, especially after the accident, he just wasn't there, you know, completely. And my dad, it was hard to see, but my Uncle Mike was, you know, as tough as nails. But you know, that was a changing point for us. And, you know, we had some confirmations. We knew we were supposed to continue wrestling, but we were just wondering why, because the thing that happened in Japan, seeing my dad and my Uncle Dave's writing, and then we wrote our names and then we put them together and freaked out. That's how we knew, like, okay, obviously there's a higher power and control all this. But then that was just, you know, when the in between, when you're on the road and you've got your confirmation a few years ago, but you know, things haven't taken off yet. Am I still doing that? You started getting those doubts and stuff. And
yeah,
after that conversation with you, it lifted us back up. And I was to stay the course for God has us.
Yeah. So sometimes when you're going through a low like that, you got to step back and look at it all, the whole big picture. And you know, when things happen like that, you really can't, you know, get too beat up about it, because, you know, it's just a season, you know, it'll pass. And you know, look, it did. And we eventually got better. You know,
it's going to get crazier. We both know in our guts that God's going to use us for something. Maybe right now it's wrestling. This is the door that's open. And we've been like this since we were kids. It's you know, some people will say you're wasting time. You're going to get your hopes up. I don't think I don't think staying hopeful is wasting time. And so when we're together and we're constantly and keep encouraging each other, and I know maybe something in Israel, when Israel happened, we went to Israel and performed and saw the people, how they felt for dad and how they felt for us because we're his sons. It was so beautiful that I was like, man, wrestling, because of wrestling, we're here right now. You know, we're two kids from Lake Dallas, you know, and now we're on Kauai. We have the small town vibe here and people know our names. I mean, we got good names over here. And that's something we always wanted, you know, always desired, but you know, it's try to have that. I don't care what people think, but everyone cares what people think a little bit, you know?
Well, I remember after that, I call it that famous drive back, when we spent the whole time driving back on Interstate 35 about your uncles and your dad and the Von Erich family and what it was like with World Class. I remember you guys went back home, and I remember you guys had a conversation with your mom about it as well. And you were telling your mom about how I was describing, like, for example, how Kerry was this really good looking, muscular, great wrestler, but he also had that aloofness of Vinnie Barbarino. And for those of you that are old enough to understand, you know, the Vinnie Barbarino on Welcome Back, Kotter. And your mom was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what Kerry, you know, Kerry had that cool, you know, aloof, but really cool personality. But what I remember a couple months after that is that we had that show in Burleson. And you guys had that match in Burleson, and right after the match, you guys said, what'd you think? And I said, holy cow, you guys have taken this to a new level. I don't know what's
that was our first good match that we were both like, hey, that was a good match. But what did it is when we pulled up, you know, it's this small country town or a small part of Burleson, but it was just, we looked at the poster and it said main event, Ross and Marshall Bonnier. It was just our names and there was other wrestlers on the card. And
it said something like wrestling tonight, Von Erichs, you know? And to us, that was like,
we're the Von Erichs.
Like you're going to display us like that. Like come see us. Like the honor and like sense of duty that you feel.
That was the first time we fully committed and just accepted the role instead of I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look dumb. You know?
Yeah. And it kind of did start the drive back from that Shawnee show, us talking, that was a kind of a pivotal point, you know, cause we saw it as, man, our uncles, they really did this thing and they did it all the way. And, you know, we want to do that.
I just never want to get chewed out like that again.
Yeah. To get chewed out by guys you admire
trying to look cool in front of like younger wrestlers walking by.
Yeah. It's hard to keep a cool face on for a little while. Yeah.
You stupid idiot. What's up, man? How's it going? That's all good. It's our relationship.
Well, it clicked for you guys. And I'll never forget after that match, we were in the locker room and I just looked at both you guys. I looked at you guys and I said, you know what? You said what? I said, Sportatorium. That's what that was. And you guys knew exactly what I was talking about because it was so, the electricity was right there in that match.
That was such a good time. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings after that to watch all the sick USC fights. On another note, on a higher note, I guess, I don't know if anybody watches UFC that follows us, but we're actually huge UFC marks. And I don't know if you watched it, Dennis, but the last pay-per-view, there was
two illegal knees on the one last week and also on the one that the most recent one.
But it was I guess if your hands on the ground, if you're squatted over and your hands on the ground, then you can't get kneed in the face.
You can't knee a down opponent.
Yeah, and so it happened and everyone freaked out and went crazy, and then it happened the exact same way the next week, and so it's pretty trippy.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of thinking of something else cool, here's a cool question from Daniel Kormeyer. I don't know if I announced Daniel's name wrong or right, but Daniel, sorry. But
Daniel Cormier?
Yeah, Daniel Cormier. Cormier. So Daniel asked the question, who is your biggest influence in the business that isn't your pops?
Okay.
Great question.
How many followers does Daniel Cormier have?
Well, I'm going to look at Daniel. He's got 185 followers.
Okay. I thought it was the UFC.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's not true. Don't get me wrong. Let me look at him. Go ahead and answer the question. I'll tell you what he's got.
Okay. So who's influenced us in wrestling?
Apart from our dad.
Oh, man. Yeah. So being from Japan, because we're kind of, you know, we're Japanese grown pretty much for wrestling. Mora Fuji. The guys that I haven't got to meet, like Misawa-san, Kobashi, I met him though, but Kobashi was a huge, huge inspiration. Stan Hansen for me personally.
Kawada.
Cowboy hat. Kawada for Ross. Shibata, also an awesome guy. But for me, I guess one of the guys I really admire and respect is Stan Hansen. I love Stan Hansen so much. He did a promo one time with tobacco hanging out of his mouth. And he just got like kicked out of WWE for like doing something. I forgot what it was, but he's like, I got 9 kids and a fat wife. Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to feed them. And
he's that was so good.
Awesome. Yeah. Michael Hayes wasn't an influence on you guys at all.
For me, when I was the most gripped by it, I mean, it's a lame answer, but The Rock, Steve Austin, you know, the obvious ones, you know, when you're like 12, 13, 14, like those guys are just so cool.
Steve Austin was so, so, so cool.
It was cool. You know, and I think we've mentioned this before, but I was on the movie set with The Rock and I really didn't want to be that guy to come up to him. And I know. And I'm like kicking myself. I really wish I would have said something because one of the guys that was on the crew said, yeah, I just talked to Dwayne the other day. And yeah, he definitely knows your family. And
he did a tornado punch in a WrestleMania in Dallas. We actually came.
Yeah. Made an Instagram post shouting out my Uncle Kerry and stuff. And
told an awesome story.
Yeah.
Remember the story?
Where he did he do the discus punch at WrestleMania?
Yeah, he said The Rock said the reason he did it though is when he was 13 years old, his dad just chewed him out in front of all the wrestlers and really embarrassed him. And if I remember correctly, I think he choked him out in front of all the wrestlers, and he was crying real hard. And he's in a different went to the other locker room, and he was just sobbing. And he said he felt a big hand touch his back, and it was my Uncle Kerry. My Uncle Kerry encouraged him, and loved on him and whatever. And it was just pretty cool. And then in honor of that, he did a discus punch in the WrestleMania, and it was just like it was super cool to see. And it shows, the Rock.
Yeah, it was just cool hearing that, my family had an impact on one of our heroes. So that was just so cool. The wrestling world is kind of a small world in a way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of influence that's talent today that your family was a result of. And, it's just amazing, the example of Steve Austin and Dwayne Johnson and, that name. And it's so great when you see these guys, like a couple years ago when Sting was at one of the shows, and Sting and your dad met for the first time in a long time. And it was just such a revered moment having Sting see your dad. And there's a picture that I took, and that picture actually got tweeted out and posted. It's a famous shot of them arm in arm together. And it was just such a cool experience to see Sting with such reverence for your dad.
Yeah, yeah. What a great guy, by the way.
Yeah, we didn't know Sting was going to be that cool and like that approachable, and he's just like
down to earth and just a good guy. Like, what can you say about him? He's just a nice guy. It was excited to meet my dad. My dad said, I had a great time meeting him. And
he invited the promoter to church. We were wrestling on Saturday, and he invited the promoter Jerry Bostick to church that Sunday, and he went with him. He's like, I can't say no. He invites me to church.
What are you gonna say?
That was a cool show. That was a cool story that I remember Jerry sharing with me the next day as well. And out to Jerry. Jerry had so many shows that you guys did, and was such a
he had a really big role in our wrestling careers. He was taking a chance on us when nobody else would, and keeping us busy. And that experience was really, really good for us.
We'll be forever grateful that, Jerry Bostick,
Moscato Jerry.
Yeah, World Class Revolution. Yeah, Moscato Jerry. Yeah, Little Jerry. He knows.
Yeah, he knows all of
it. But Jerry, if you're listening, just know that we remember you and we love you. And we know that we'll see you in the future at some point in time. Right, guys?
I gave him a message and said, hey, what's up? And he's like, Marshall who? Sorry, man, I don't remember you. I guess he took off, and I think he's coaching right now basketball and getting to his head.
Yeah.
Hey, I had another question from the fan base, and they said, when are you guys going to come to Texas and live?
Texas and live?
Yeah, when are you going to live?
I live everywhere I go, baby. Wherever my shadow is, that's my town. I own that soil. I don't know about living, honestly, we don't like to look too far in the future, because, there's so much unknown, you don't know. And pretty much anything I've planned hasn't worked out how I planned. And so it's kind of hard to look.
Yeah. Pretty soon you just stop making future plans that are like too far. Cause you never know what's going
to
happen.
You can look a few months and stuff. But say I'm going to be here in 10 years. It's kind of hard to say, but yeah, I mean, I could definitely see myself living in Texas. I mean,
yeah, we love Texas, man. We grew up country boys, picking blackberries, hunting all summer, swimming in cow ponds and, driving four wheelers all over. And
we're a little redneck.
Yeah. That was just life growing up. The same exact way my dad and his brothers grew up. My grandpa, we're
out there summer nights in Texas, out in the field, listening to the locusts, real dirty feet, catching toads, throwing them at each other. We were such country kids, and
firecrackers,
all that stuff.
Well, what's cool is that little personal story here on my end. My boat, my RV's in Lake Dallas. I store it in Lake Dallas, and I take it out to Lake Louisville. And there's a little hardware store just right up the road where I store my, where I have my boat in storage.
Yeah, my granddad used to go there.
I'm always up there getting supplies. There's always something. And there's a guy there that your dad went to school with. His name is Norm. And I see him all the time. We became friends as a result. And every time I see Norm, he's like, hey, how's Kevin? How's the family doing? And so when I'm up there, and I'll probably be up there this week, I'll I'll give Norm the podcast or a podcast, and I'll let him start listening into it. I'm sure he'd love it. But even in Lake Dallas, even today, there is still so much Von Erich feel there. People know you guys.
I know. We have such like, I know I say this all the time, but it's like a loyal, it's hard to call them a fan base because they really feel like family. When we go to a Dallas show, it's, we remember all of them.
And it's like this understood mutual respect, you know, they suffered with us. They know who we are, where we come from. And we just love them right back. And you feel it. And, you know, and I hope they feel it.
I don't want to say names because I know I'm going to leave somebody out, but there's so many, the Payton family, Miss Delana, Claudia, the rest in peace, Loretta Bear. She was one of the sweetest ladies at every show.
That's wrong, man.
Yeah. She was, she
love her.
She unfortunately, she passed.
Miss Catherine. Catherine
from Ireland came to our show in Israel. Didn't even tell us, just showed up and we freaked out. Came and visited us out here. Saw us in the UK and we got to hang out with her.
All right, we said we wouldn't mention names. There's so many good people. It's hard. There's
a lot of cool people.
I'll throw out a couple. Go ahead.
The biggest fan we have is a guy you mentioned a second ago, Tony Adams, but he's getting kind of weird, like stalking and stuff and sending in like.
Yeah, guys, if he sends you like a friend request, just run.
Keep an eye out for Tony.
Delete all social media. This guy is a creep. I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. No, he's a great. He's awesome.
Sorry.
I want to give.
I was like, we better stop.
Like, someone blew up my phone, man.
I want to give a shout out to Brent Stein and Jose. Always great.
Yeah, those guys.
So cool. Love those guys.
Jose is a solid.
Yeah.
Jose's a great guy. Brent Stein, too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Stand by. We're going to do a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with the Iron Clawcast, Episode 3. This segment of the Iron Clawcast is brought to you by DJ D-Man Entertainment. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you need a DJ for your next party, event, or wedding, give Dennis Crosby a call at 817-233-5646 to put that boom in your room. And as always, there is never any parking on the dance floor with DJ D-Man. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the Clawcast. So Marshall and Ross. So Marshall, you have some updates for us. So
yes,
let's hear it.
Those Dark Side of the Ring, they did awesome documentaries on, you know, a ton of people on our family, Montreal Screwjob, Gino Hernandez, Bruiser Brody, New Jack, Road Warriors, Owen Hart. They did awesome pieces and stuff and got like really in-depth questions with a lot of guys, like Jake the Snake was really cool and got emotional and stuff. So they're doing, they're going back and I guess doing, showing footage they didn't show. And so on March 9th, they're going to be doing Gino Hernandez, March 16th, Montreal Screwjob, March 23rd, they'll be doing Our Family. So make sure you tune in and check that out. Bruiser Brody on March 30th, New Jack on April 6th, Road Warriors on April 13th, and Owen Hart, April 20th.
Yeah, if you haven't
seen Herb Abrams, April 27th.
If you haven't seen Dark Side of the Ring, if you're a wrestling fan, watch it. It's incredible. The way they do the stories is unbelievable.
That's so awesome.
So more content on the Von Erichs? Is that this?
Yeah.
Sort of have?
Yeah. So March 23rd, they're gonna be do the one on our family, and Evan and Jason did a great job, and they're a great storyteller. So it's really cool. And that's also a guy, you know, maybe one day we'd love to have on the podcast.
March
23rd. One of them, definitely.
Okay, March 23rd. Yeah, he'd be great to have on this on the Clawcast as well. March 23rd. Looking forward to that. All right. Now, for a little bit of fun, a little bit of a fan treat for you. Marshall and I have had a.
I didn't know of this. This is the first I'm hearing of this. But yeah, go on.
I am issuing a challenge live right now to Marshall Von Erich. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a wrestler imitation contest.
We're going to have like a promo off?
We're going to have a promo off. Marshall's going to imitate a few. I'm going to imitate a few. And then we are going to ask on Twitter who did the best impersonations. And then we'll announce who did that, what the results are on the next Iron Clawcast. Okay. So, okay. Marshall,
so, I'm so you. How does this work?
Challenge, baby.
What wrestlers do we need to do?
I've got two or three I can do. How many?
Really? Okay, let's think of some you can do. Stan Hansen.
Oh, I understand Hansen. That's hard. How about like
you do impersonate him all the time? Okay.
I think you can do Steve Austin.
Okay, I'll do Steve Austin.
Just give a one-liner from each of them.
I'll do Undertaker, and then I'll do Festus.
Okay. We'll trade off.
That'll be good.
I'll go first. All right. I'm going to do Terry Gordy.
All right.
All right, ready? All right, you know, I don't mind putting a Von Erich down on the mat. I don't mind doing that. But when you come and stick your nose in business where it don't belong, that's where I got a problem.
All right, Terry Gordy, I can tell you what you can do with your nose. You can shove it sideways and stuff it straight up my candy ass. Oh, shoot, that was The Rock.
Oh, man.
That was a Rock and Steve Austin combining.
That was a good one. Right, I was wondering who it was.
Let's go for round two. Ready?
All right.
When you talk about me, you talk about the world champion. Because I'm the kid stealing, whoo, wheeling, dealing, high flying, limo ride, diamond, ring, ride, Rolex, wear, kiss a girl and make him cry. Whoo. Von Erich. I got you, baby.
Oh, man.
Top that.
Ric Flair. I'm the Undertaker.
are we really doing this right now? What are we doing right now?
Hey, I guess he didn't keep his eyes up the whole time. He ends it with that. But hey, Ric Flair, rest in peace.
I gotta say, okay. All right, round three. Ready for round three?
Oh yeah. Man, okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I need a third guy.
All right, round three. You can think about your.
Oh, Festus. Right. I got Festus. Yeah, all Festus right. Would be easy.
I'm going to tell y'all a story about a place you don't want to be. This ain't no home sweet home. It's a home sweet misery. They knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. When they seen us walk down the street, they ran the other way. P.S.
Fucking those lyrics?
The payoff.
You sound like you ate a carton of cigarettes, Michael Hayes.
I did.
All right, with Festus, this one's really hard. I got to get my head together for this one. Okay.
Okay.
Ding the bell.
That was ding.
That's all Festus does.
Now, if you're listening to the Clawcast on one of the audio shows like Spotify or FM.com, you're not able to see Marshall's face, but if you're listening to it on YouTube, watching this on YouTube, it's incredible. Marshall, I will have to say,
I was cross-eyed, everybody, and I had drool coming out of my mouth.
They're pretty good. I still think I'm winning. I still think I'm ahead of this thing, okay, because I am the champion. We'll see what the people say.
You won that one. But pretty soon we're going to start having games with the guests, and sometimes the guests won't know what game we're playing, but – future game we'll have is I disagree, and that's going to be a fun game.
We'll just ambush them with it and just see what happens.
This will be perfect. Well, this is going to wrap up episode 3 of the Iron Clawcast. I know we've had a great time tonight. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you again to the fans for all the support that you've given us. Marshall and Ross, any parting comments you want to make, gents?
So, follow us on Twitter, the Iron Clawcast, or at Ross Von Erich, or at Marshall Von Erich. Instagram, at Ram Von Erich, Ross and Marshall. And then our YouTube channel, of course, Iron Clawcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those great platforms. And then that's pretty much – oh, yeah, send in your guest requests. Let us know who you want to have so I can call them and give them some notice. We need some names.
Perfect. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll wrap it up. Stay clawrific.
Clawtastic.
All righty. Bye-bye. You don't show me Fritz Von Erich. You've done been sticking your nose in the business where it don't belong.
You shut your mouth. I'm going to the office.
place you don't wanna be at. This ain't no home sweet home. It's home sweet misery. We knew when we got here, they tried to put us away. But when they see us walk down the street, they ran the other way. Back free Atlanta, DA. Back is free in the whole USA. Back is free, Nazi and I. Put it down and block you with the better ear guy.